Wake up, everyone. It's time for the Steve Noble Show, where biblical Christianity meets the everyday issues of life in your home, at work, and even in politics. Steve is an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and on his show, there's plenty of grace and lots of truth, but no sacred cows. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Or check him out online at thestevenobleshow.com. And now, here's your host, Steve Noble.
Well, let me just say this. First of all, Merry Christmas. Well, let me just say this. Being a former owner of a house painting company turned Christian activist turned Christian radio show guy, at least for the last 15 years, comes with a unique set of benefits, not the least of which is a great blessing, being able to meet incredible people that are working in the kingdom, and a lot of people that are a lot wiser and a lot smarter than I am, which is how I learned a lot over the last 15 years. And just God has just opened a lot of doors and brought a lot of people into my life that have been just a great resource on many different levels, not just from news and culture war and what's going on in our country and religious freedom and all those important issues, but just in terms of being a follower of Jesus Christ, an effective Jesus follower of Jesus Christ in a country that is increasingly choosing the secular road. And one of those individuals that I've known for years now is Mr. Warren Cole Smith, who you might reckon. Why do I know that name, Warren Cole Smith? Warren was with World Magazine for quite some time. He was the vice president, associate publisher of World News Group and World Magazine. Then spent some time with the Colson Center for Christian Worldview. That's the Breakpoint Chuck Colson Group. And now is just took a recent position with a great ministry. So he's now the president of Ministry Watch, as well as the fact that Warren's right here in Charlotte, North Carolina. Warren, how are you, man? Merry Christmas to you. Thanks for calling in.
Thanks, Steve. I'm doing great. Good to be with you. And, of course, my real claim to fame is that I know Steve Noble. I've been on the Steve Noble Show.
Right. Whoop-dee-doo. That and $20 or $30 will get you a cup of coffee.
Yeah.
But
it's an honor to be with you, seriously.
Thank you. I appreciate that. And it's always great to hear from you and to tap into your wisdom and your knowledge. So tell us, because we're going to dive into some things with Chick-fil-A. I know you've been doing a lot of work on that. You guys have put together a lot of great information on Chick-fil-A. We'll talk about that because you and I both have Boy Scouts in our background and Eagle Scouts in our families. I want to talk about that. That was pretty shocking what they decided to do. But some other things that Ministry Watch is looking into and some really cool things as well. Not all of it is negative. But tell us a little bit about Ministry Watch because I want to make sure people understand what you're doing now.
Right. Well, I appreciate you asking about that. Yeah, Ministry Watch has been around for about 20 years. Rusty Leonard and his wife Carol founded Ministry Watch. Rusty had been a money manager with Sir John Templeton. Many of your listeners might remember Sir John. He was a billionaire, one of the richest men on the planet. Rusty was one of his money guys and, made some money for himself and decided to leave Sir John about a little more than 20 years ago. He founded two organizations, one called Stewardship Partners, which is an organization that invests money according to biblical principles. And the other organization, Ministry Watch, is a ministry that really advocates for donors. It provides information about ministries. We have a database of the 500 largest Christian ministries in the country. You can go to ministrywatch.com and see that database there. It's a pretty unique resource because it has financial information going back 20 years. We also rate these ministries on a 1 to 5 star rating that doesn't take into account ministry effectiveness, but does take into account financial efficiency. So, for example, how efficiently you use your money, how much of it goes to administrative costs, how much of it goes to fundraising, and how much of it goes actually to ministry. And I was on the board of Ministry Watch when it started. But as you said, Steve, I've done other things. I worked for the Colson Center. I worked for World Magazine. And my involvement with Ministry Watch kind of diminished because we had policies at those organizations that said I couldn't sit on board, so I had to resign my board position. But I've always been fascinated by Ministry Watch, and about 6 or 8 months ago, Rusty called me and said, you know, hey, we've gotten some additional funding. We'd really like to reinvigorate Ministry Watch and turn it more into a investigative journalism watchdog type of an organization. So I joined about 6 weeks ago, left the Colson Center, where I had been for the last 4 years, had a great experience there, but I'm really excited about what we're already doing here at Ministry Watch.
Well, and that's something that's, I love hearing that phrase, investigative journalism, and I know how good you are at it. And for those of you that don't know, Warren's written over about 3,000 articles. And investigative journalism, I mean, one of the things that we struggle with today, I mean, we should struggle with it. If you don't struggle, you need to question what kind of information you're taking in all the time, is what can we trust? Where's an actual source of information that we can trust? And I look all over the place, as you do, Warren, and then I assume that I'm not getting the straight skinny from anybody. So especially to fold a Christian worldview into investigative journalism, I think is a huge need, especially now in our country.
Well, I think you're right. You know, there are some organizations doing great work out there in terms of news, and I'm not trying to take away from their work at all. I mean, World Magazine, where I was for, you know, 7 or 8 years, and I still work for them. I still do a podcast, Steve, for World, as I think you know, called Listening In.
Yep.
And the Colson Center, also where I was for 4 years and led the editorial team there. I think they do great work. Still got great relationships with both of those organizations, and in fact, still contribute to the Colson Center some as well. But you said something there that was key. Combining investigative journalism with a Christian worldview is something that not a lot of folks are doing. And there's a big need for it out there because, you know, Steve, I think that a lot of, especially young people, they look at the Christian world, and I think in many cases they want to believe in the claims of Christ. But, you know, in some ways, and I'm not trying to, you know, hold up Mahatma Gandhi as a paragon of biblical wisdom, but he once said, you know, "You're Christ I love, it's you Christians that I don't understand."
Sure.
And I think that many young people in our culture today are having a very similar kind of reaction, and that they see some of the things that Christians are doing and getting away with because we fellow Christians don't hold them to account, and it causes them to get disillusioned and discouraged. So I think anybody who is concerned about what church fathers used to call the peace and purity of the church should welcome us shining a bright light on ourselves. And that's what we try to do here at Ministry Watch. We're not trying to tear down, but we're trying to build up.
Yeah, which is excellent, and that's the type of language we should be using. And the Scripture makes it perfectly clear, judgment begins in our house. And while we're wagging our finger at the culture, we're afraid to look in the mirror, which the book of James was talking about. And this is super important. I'm glad you mentioned there's a lot of people out there, particularly millennials and Gen X and Gen Z, I mean, that are, you know, they can make a pretty good case against us, against the church, because of the way that we've handled some things. Some of that is just not wanting, you know, what fellowship does darkness have with light? We have that spiritual reality in there as well. But in terms of, what do you guys, you say one thing, you do another. And that's a valid question, not just for the church in general, but for each of us as individuals. So when we come back, we're talking to Warren Cole Smith, the president of Ministry Watch. I'm going to put you on hold right quick, Warren. And when we come back, we're going to dive into some things going on with Chick-fil-A, with the Boy Scouts. And then we're also going to look at some ministries, some organizations that are really doing it well. And if we have a little time, we might even talk impeachment and Donald Trump. This is Steve Noble on the Steve Noble Show. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Steve Noble Show. This is Steve Noble. Merry Christmas to you and yours. December 6th already, 2019, almost toast, getting ready to run into 2020, which is just mind-boggling. Here today with a good friend of mine, Warren Cole Smith, who's also here in North Carolina, down in Charlotte, and has been very involved in the kingdom and in a kingdom capacity in many, many different ways, now as the president of Ministry Watch. And one of the things, Warren, that you guys have written on a lot lately, and that we've been talking about a lot lately, which really broke a couple weeks ago, and it kind of was Chick-fil-A breaking it open when they decided to come out publicly, which was interesting, and explain that they're changing the way that they're doling out their contribution money. But this is a big story and very disappointing. Were you shocked? Were you disappointed? How did you react, Warren, when this stuff started coming out?
Well, yeah, that's a great question, Steve. And I would say that I was definitely disappointed, and I was shocked, but I can't say that I was surprised, if that makes any sense at all. It's sort of like getting, you know, you're in a boxing ring and you get hit in the face, right? You know, you're in a boxing ring,
right,
you know,
right.
Something like that's bound to happen. You can't not surprise, but it's still a shock when they get hit. And I think that's kind of the way I felt about Chick-fil-A. You know, it's tough to, first of all, I want to give Chick-fil-A a lot of credit. They have held the line for many, many years. They've weathered and endured a lot of criticism. They've done a lot of great things for the kingdom of God. They've both the Kathy family and the Chick-fil-A organization and foundation. They've done some great things, and I don't think that we ought to overlook that or take away from that. But they've been under enormous pressure, and they apparently, it appears to me, have been bowing to some of that pressure, at least lately. The Chick-fil-A Foundation has been giving money to organizations that are, for years. That's the thing about this, Steve, that I think a lot of people don't realize is that this is, we just found out about it within the last few weeks, but yeah, this has been happening for years, that they've been giving money to organizations that are, that really don't comport with Christian values. The one, I think probably the thing that shocked many, even people that were standing with Chick-fil-A, took a second look whenever they found out that Chick-fil-A had given money to the Southern Poverty Law Center, a group that has labeled many Christian organizations as hate groups. They did that, Steve, back in 2017.
Yeah.
That was not last week or last month or even last year that they did that. So this has been happening for a while. I think people that have been watching closely have sort of realized that Dan Cathy, though a great man in many ways, is not his father, Druitt Cathy, when it comes to the kind of decision-making process that he goes through.
Yeah, and you mentioned SPLC, and a lot of people, you know, for us, that's a very common phrase. We know all about the Southern Poverty Law Center. For a lot of people out there that don't, this is one of the most radical organizations out there. They're the ones that labeled the Family Research Council as a hate group, which was then cited by Floyd Lee Corkins, who's the guy that walked into FRC, this was several years ago, wanting to shoot the whole place up, and then he wanted to, this is what he said, kill as many as possible and smear the Chick-fil-A sandwiches in victims' faces and kill the guard, because that was on the heels of Dan Cathy coming out in 2012. Actually, the day after he was sitting in my studio here in Raleigh, North Carolina, and came out and reaffirmed that they hold to a biblical standard when it comes to marriage. And SPLC, the Southern Poverty Law Center, had listed FRC as a hate group. That's where Floyd Lloyd Corkins found out about it online, and he goes in there and tries to kill people. And 5 years later, Chick-fil-A gives, now this is where it's interesting, Warren. I wanted to ask you about this. Chick-fil-A, yep, is a $10 billion company. They made a $2,500 donation to SPLC. That is nothing for them. So what's the point of making a $2,500 donation to the organization that really could be pointed to that fueled the flames for the guy that went in and tried to kill people at FRC? I mean, $2,500 on their scale is nothing.
Well, that's right, and I think you've raised so many issues just in that little bit, Steve, but you're right, $2,500 is not a lot of money to Chick-fil-A, and it's probably not a lot of money to the Southern Poverty Law Center as well, because they have grown into a massive organization themselves. But I will say that a lot, I've actually studied the report of the Chick-fil-A Foundation. They give a lot of small donations. I mean, they do have some organizations. Previously, for example, the Salvation Army and Fellowship of Christian Athletes, they gave hundreds of thousands of dollars to those organizations. Over the years, they probably gave millions of dollars. But they gave a lot of $2,500, $5,000, $10,000 donations to, yeah, different organizations. So that amount of money is not really that unusual. And the fact that they would give it to the Southern Poverty Law Center, though, is particularly galling. And in fact, that was the moment when Mike Huckabee, who helped organize that day that you're talking about, that Chick-fil-A Appreciation Day.
When we all went to Chick-fil-A for three meals that day. That's right.
Yeah, exactly right. Mike Huckabee came out whenever he found out that the money had gone to the Southern Poverty Law Center. Tony Perkins of the Family Research Council, when he found out, that was, I think, whenever a lot of people felt that they were betrayed by Chick-fil-A.
Yeah.
You know, it's one thing, Steve, for, you know, to sort of redirect money from, you know, from the Fellowship of Christian Athletes to another, you know, solid organization. Nothing lasts forever. I'm in the nonprofit business. I have to raise money for organizations that I've worked for, and I don't expect that a donation, even a significant donation from someone, is an entitlement that I should get,
right,
year after year.
That's right.
But whenever the explanation that Chick-fil-A made, especially when it came to, for example, taking money away from the Salvation Army and giving it to Covenant House being a ministry that is involved with homelessness, but it's also very pro-LGBTQ. A lot of what Covenant House does, for example, is to they spend some of their money sponsoring pride parades and being involved in gay pride parades. But to take that money from the Salvation Army, which,
right,
is also actively involved in homeless issues, and to say that they're refocusing on homelessness, that just didn't pass anybody's sniff test. That just didn't make sense on any level whatsoever. So I think that there is, nobody's questioning Chick-fil-A's right to give money away as they see fit. Nobody is questioning that Chick-fil-A has been generous over the years. But the explanations that they've been given, the decisions that they have been made, really felt like a betrayal of the Christian community. And let's face it, Steve, the Christian community and their really just fierce loyalty to Chick-fil-A has been a big part of their success for the last half century.
Well, in the year 2000, Chick-fil-A was just crossed the $1 billion mark, and now they're a $10 billion company. And even with what happened not that long ago in London, where they opened a shop in London because it's London, and they don't like some of the background and some of the allegations about Chick-fil-A being quote-unquote anti-LGBTQ, they shut the place down. Chick-fil-A, I mean, how much money do you need to have? Chick-fil-A has been growing just fine, and they've been growing just fine as they've been hammered by particularly the LGBTQ community as being quote-unquote hateful, even though obviously in none of their operations they don't do anything like that. So it's really – that's why I'm sitting there going – I'm thinking to myself, is this the next generation of Kathys who are younger and therefore not quite as strong? Then you got up to Dan and Bubba and then up to Truett. And I just don't kind of know what to make of it, and I'm glad you mentioned earlier – let's give credit where credit is due. They've been very effective in the kingdom in many ways. But where do you think we go from here?
Well, I'm not 100% sure because, I don't think there's any one reason, but I do think there's a lot of reasons. I mean, as you said, they've grown from $1 billion to $10 billion. I'm sure that they're dealing with issues. For example, we know that in the San Antonio airport recently, they tried to, they in fact did, the city council there, kick Chick-fil-A out of the San
Kicked
Antonio
them out,
airport.
Right.
And there have been other places, colleges and universities. So I know they're facing a lot of pressure. I know they're probably involved in conversations and in conflicts behind the scenes that we don't even know about. But I do think that there is a generational shift from Truett Cathy to Dan and Bubba, number one. They've also been very active in Hollywood, and we can talk about that after the break.
Let's do that.
Studio down in Florida.
Yeah, we'll pick it up there after the break. We're talking to Warren Cole Smith, who's the president of Ministry Watch. So much more to talk about as we have time with a great thinker and a great Christian working for the kingdom there in the country. We'll be right back. Coffee? Check. Decent breakfast? Check. Cleaned up and dressed for the day? Check. All of these things are essential, but not as important as a daily dose of God's Word. This is Steve Noble, and I'd like to help you get your weekday started off right by sending you my Daily Dose devotionals. We finished up the book of Proverbs and recently started a 150-day journey through the book of Psalms. So please join me by texting the word DOSE to 66866. Text the word DOSE to 66866, and let me help you get your day started on the right foot. Worldwide, there are nearly 2.4 billion monthly active users on Facebook. And I'm one of them. Odds are pretty good that you are too. Steve Noble here. While I don't agree with a lot of things that Facebook does do, I love how easily I can connect with people who listen to the show. You can actually watch my radio show via Facebook Live. Plus, I post a lot of the articles there that I talk about on the air. All you have to do is like the Steve Noble Show page on Facebook and bada bing, bada boom, we're connected. I look forward to seeing you there later today.
When Julie Plagens realized as an adult her relationship with her parents was unhealthy, she set boundaries. She didn't see them or talk to them for years.
There was a total of 7-year estrangement. But about in the third year, my dad had a heart attack. And when I went to visit my dad, something broke. And I wasn't the little girl anymore.
How God brought healing to Julie Plagens' family. This week on Family Life Today.
It is the evidence of what you can't see. So if you can see it, you don't need faith.
Dr. Tony Evans says faith is a conduit that connects us to Christ.
It is the only mechanism that links us to the realm we cannot see.
A look at the difference that confidence and assurance can make, along with other most requested messages of the past year. This week on The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans.
In a world that wants to pull you down, you found the station that helps keep your mind on things above. The Truth Network.
This is Just a Thought with Ravi Zacharias.
You must have that sense of truth within you in what you proclaim. That feeling of God's presence and the knowledge of God's presence in your life. If you don't have that, it will all become nothing more than an intellectual activity. I want you to know that one of the things about the gospel that is brilliant and absolutely unique is the story of the cross. When you understand that, you understand why feeling is so critical in the Christian faith. Viewing what happened on the cross, you understand both the horror of sin and the magnificence of the grace of God.
Helping the thinker believe and the believer think. For more information, go to rzim.org.
This is a Love Language Minute with Dr. Gary Chapman. A listener writes, Gary, my boyfriend and I have been dating long distance for a while, and our primary love languages is quality time, but we can't keep our love tanks full in a traditional way. What would you suggest?
Well, again, I think when you are apart like that, there are ways to do that. You might create your own website just for the two of you, and you can go there and spend quality time with each other. Or you can have a book. He has a copy, you have a copy, and you each read the chapter each week, and you have a set time in which on the phone you talk with each other about what you learned out of that chapter. There are many ways available to have quality time, especially in today's digital world. So take advantage of technology and spend time with each other.
Dr. Gary Chapman is the author of The Five Love Languages. For more, visit 5lovelanguages.com.
So if you're happy in your stuff, and if 10% enough, stay away from Jesus.
I love that song. This is Steve Noble, The Steve Noble Show. That's Matt Papa, by the way. MattPapa.com is one of my favorite praise and worship leaders and a great hymn writer. We don't have many of those anymore. Matt Papa is definitely one of them. So I would encourage you to go check that out, MattPapa.com, and you'll hear his music a lot here on the show. It is Steve Noble on The Steve Noble Show. Merry Christmas to you and yours. My friend Warren Cole Smith is with us today, who's the president of Ministry Watch, MinistryWatch.com, which is a great kind of a financial watchdog, and now they're expanding into some more investigative journalism. They look at all the biggest, like the 500 biggest ministries, charities type things here in America. I'm not sure if it's international. Is it international as well, Warren, or is it just domestic?
Yeah, we look at U.S. ministries, so we do look at organizations like World Vision, Samaritan's Purse, Compassion, which, of course, do work all around the world, but we're looking at U.S.-based ministries.
And especially here at the end of the year, we're all doing year-end fundraising. I'm working on that right now myself. I'm sure you guys are as well. So Ministry Watch is a great resource. So how would you suggest, and then I have one more Chick-fil-A question, and then we'll talk about the Boy Scouts. How would you suggest we use Ministry Watch, that resource here as we're looking at our year-end giving?
Well, there's a couple of ways, Steve. One is that we have the database available to anyone. We rate all the ministries that are in our database, about 500 of the largest ministries in America. So, you know, there might be some smaller local ministry that we don't rate. In fact, there are many smaller local ministries that we don't rate. But, you know, the big ones, Focus on the Family, Compassion International, World Vision, and so on, many of them are there. And if you've got a favorite, go and see if it's in the database and see what kind of a rating we give it, and find out some information about it. The other, if you don't have a favorite, but you feel like God is calling you to be, you know, maybe more generous or to give in ways that you haven't given in the past, look at our Shining Light list. Every year in December, we publish a list of the 30 ministries that we recommend. They must receive at least a 4 or a 5 star rating in our financial efficiency rating, but that's not all we look at. We look at the effectiveness of the ministry. We look at whether they're following biblical standards, because there are a lot of ministries out there that are kind of, you know, quasi-Christian, if I may say it that way, Steve.
Yeah.
Nominally Christian, or maybe they have Christian roots, but they're not really following Christian principles anymore in their ministry. So we try to take a look at all of those things. These are staff recommendations from the leadership of Ministry Watch. We've got 30 of them. We just published that list on Monday. You can go to ministrywatch.com, and it'll be right on the front page.
Yeah, and I just put a link up on our Facebook Live page right now, so you can go check that out. And the cool thing about that is if you have a particular bent towards one particular area of the kingdom work versus another, they list them that way. So they tell you the sector, like relief and development, and then there's evangelism, and there's foreign missions, and there's evangelism support, and persecuted Christians. So you can kind of look and see, hey, that's something that really rings my bell in my spirit, and now who are the groups that are dealing in that particular area? Christian growth is another example. So that's BSF, Bible Study Fellowship, which many of us here in North Carolina are familiar with. So that's awesome. What a great resource. One last question about Chick-fil-A, then I want to ask you about our beloved Boy Scouts, because we both have a kind of a rich history there. Should we boycott Chick-fil-A?
Wow, that's a really hard question. And see, before I answer that, I did want to say that I misspoke right before the break. I was talking so fast and trying to get in under the break. I said that Chick-fil-A had studios in Florida. What I meant to say was in Georgia. Their Pinewood Studios are mm-hmm. in Georgia. It's a massive studio, and they contract that studio out to Hollywood Productions. So a lot of the Marvel movies, for example, have been produced there. So the Kathy family and their family trust, which is called Rivers of Rock, has had to deal with Hollywood a lot, and I think that could be having an impact on them. Now to your question, Chick-fil-A boycott. You know, boycotts are really, really tough. I don't advocate a boycott. Ministry Watch is not advocating a boycott. But I will say this, that I think as individual Christians, we should realize that the money that we have is not our money. It's God's money. And right. God expects us to be good stewards of that money. And we should be not just in our, you know, where we buy our chicken sandwiches or where we buy our fast food, but in all areas of life, we should ask ourselves, how are we spending that money? Are we spending that money effectively, efficiently? Are we dealing with people who are going to use that money for the kingdom of God? And I think that that's a really relevant question to ask at Chick-fil-A. I've heard talk about a boycott. I don't know that there's been any sort of a formal boycott that's been planned yet. At least you may know about this, Steve. I haven't heard of that yet. But boycotts are really tough to make work, because you have to actually get everybody
right.
involved. And, of course, there will be others that will say, well, because the conservatives or because Christians are boycotting, that must mean that we should go do business there. And so it's kind of tough. And I'm not going to advocate boycott as a strategy for the movement, but I will say for individuals, prayerfully consider how we use God's money. We're
Absolutely.
Stewards, and we should use it in ways that God is leading us.
Yeah, if your conscience has that much of a roadblock in front of you to go get your waffle fries, then you should be true to that and act on it. But make sure you're doing that prayerfully and not out of hate, but hopefully out of good stewardship with, like Warren said, everything that we have is not our own. Okay, you've got a Boy Scout background. I've got a Boy Scout background. You have Eagle Scouts. I have Eagle Scouts. The title of this that came out from Ministry Watch on this article the other day that you wrote, "The Boy Scouts Mortgage Their Crown Jewel." And when I first saw that, I'm like, okay, what is their crown jewel? And I went, oh, no, are you kidding me? So explain that to me. Explain that to us, because this is earth-shattering in the Boy Scouts world, what they decided to do and what I think they probably had to do. And unfortunately, I'm glad that they had to do it. I think they need to suffer the consequences for all the things that they've done wrong recently.
Yeah, well, I mean, yeah, Steve opened up a big can of worms, but just some of the basic facts. The Boy Scouts have been in trouble for the last 6 or 7 years in particular. They've been in trouble. They've been in a long slide for many years. And, in fact, I just wrote an article called The Long Slide of the Boy Scouts of America that World Magazine is going to be publishing later this year before the end of the year. And it really is an article that talks about everything that's happened up until what's happened in the last couple of weeks, which is the event you're referring to, and that is that they have mortgaged Philmont Scout Ranch, which many people do consider to be the crown jewel of the scouting movement. Philmont Scout Ranch was given to the Boy Scouts of America back in the 1940s by one of the richest men in America at that time, Waite Phillips. Many people remember Phillips 66 Petroleum.
Sure.
That was actually owned by Waite Phillips' brothers, Frank Phillips, for example. But Waite Phillips owned a gas station chain that bought all of its gas from its brothers. And so he was one of the richest men in America. He was also an outdoorsman. The Boy Scouts were young. They had been founded in 1910. So they were, you know, it wasn't the kind of movement that it ultimately became. But he had this ranch in New Mexico that he gave to them. And it's been within the scouting movement for 75 years. I served on staff. In fact, I met my wife at Philmont Scout Ranch. More than a million men and boys, and now many women, have hiked the Philmont trails over the years, and it truly is, to many, the crown jewel of the scouting movement. It's sort of the flagship high adventure base. And what happened was that in March of this year, the Boy Scouts took out a $450 million mortgage on Philmont. Now, keep in mind, Philmont was owned free and clear. It was given to the Boy Scouts
right.
of America
without
any encumbrances by Waite Phillips. And not only that, he actually gave an office building in Tulsa, Oklahoma, to the Boy Scouts that was generating income that the Boy Scouts could use to pay any losses that they might incur in Philmont. So this was a gift that was free and clear. It was one of the most generous gifts that we know about in American history in the area of philanthropy, especially
let me throw this in there right quick. So just for, in case you're wondering why such a big number, it's because it's 140,000 acres or about 220 square miles in northeastern New Mexico. This is a beautiful and enormous piece of property that they basically just got a line of credit on.
That's right. And the reason that they had to get this line of credit, Steve, is because the Boy Scouts are in serious trouble financially. They've lost money in 6 of the last 7 years. The total of that loss, I actually pulled all the 990s, which are the tax return, the form 990s that every nonprofit has to file, and did a little bit of math. They have lost almost $180 million over the last 6 years. Now, part of a big reason for that loss is because in 2013, the Boy Scouts made a decision to allow gay scouts, openly gay scouts, and then 2 years later in 2015, they decided to allow openly gay scout leaders. Many Christians and others that were just not happy with that, they weren't all Christians, have left the scouts. Scouting has, the membership numbers in scouting has gone down about 16% during that same period of time. The Boy Scouts have had to increase their membership fees twice, including a recent membership hike from $33 a year to $60 a year. Steve, that's an 80% increase.
Amazing.
It's a huge jump, and that's going to price a whole lot more people out of the market for being a scout. So scouting is in big trouble right now. They've got all these sexual abuse lawsuits being filed against them. They've already mentioned that they may have to declare bankruptcy. Some people think that the decision to mortgage Philmont was a way to get Philmont off of its balance sheet, or at least keep it encumbered, so that it might, in some ways, if they have to go into bankruptcy, actually protect Philmont from having to be sold. But in either way you look at it, it's kind of a desperation move, and it has caused
so
a lot of people to take a second look at it.
Well, do you have time to stay for the final segment, Warren? I'm going to switch gears when they come back, if you can.
Yeah, I can stay, Steve. You bet.
All right, cool. I'm going to put you on hold. We're talking to Warren Cole Smith, the president of Ministry Watch. We're going to set his responsibility down there for a second. When we come back, I want to talk a little bit about politics. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show. Great to be with you today. Merry Christmas to you and your family. I hope you're already enjoying a great Christmas month, and hope you will dig some more out of it as we go through the end of the year. From a theological perspective, as a matter of fact, yesterday was Theology Thursday. Had my good friend Dr. Danny Aiken, the president of Southeastern Baptist, where my studio is located. He was on the show yesterday. We did Theology Thursday and just unpacked all different kinds of theological angles on Christmas, on the birth of Christ. The view from above, which is Christology, the deity of Jesus. The view from below, which is the earthly view, genealogies, and coming up through the line of David. And then we did the view from behind, which was the Old Testament view of Christmas, which was all prophetic. So really, really helps you go to a deeper level in understanding what's behind this time of year for us that are Christ followers. So that was yesterday. You can check out the Facebook Live video that we did yesterday. That's just on the Steve Noble Show Facebook page, or you can go to thestevenobleshow.com and grab the podcast. The podcast is available on pretty much every podcast platform out there, so it's easy to get that. And then you can go back and listen to previous shows. But on our website, on the stevenobleshow.com website, you can search the podcast. You can look based on topics. So if you want to look up shows that we've touched on abortion or LGBTQ things or Donald Trump or the Supreme Court or Christian persecution, whatever, you can just put those search terms in there and you'll be able to pull up any podcast that had anything to do with that. So a lot of resources there. So we were talking to Warren Cole Smith as the president of Ministry Watch. But now we're just going to talk to my friend Warren Cole Smith. Because I don't want to talk to you in your capacity as the president of Ministry Watch. I just want to talk to you in the capacity of my smart Christian friend on the issue of impeachment and Donald Trump in general. Are you up for that for a little bit?
You bet. Absolutely.
Okay. So what's been your reaction to the whole impeachment process? And obviously this started right after he won the election. People started talking impeachment right away. And obviously is all the news that's fit to print right now is all impeachment. So what's your read on what's happening right now?
Well, it's interesting to me, Steve, how the narrative has morphed on both sides. In fact, I remember that election very, very well. In fact, I met with Donald Trump about a month before the election in Trump Tower in New York City. And in fact, Rolling Stone magazine just this past week wrote an article about that meeting that I was at. Frank Turk was there. Robert Jeffers was there. Steve Bannon was there as well. In fact, somebody had an audio recording of that meeting. It was supposed to be an off-the-record meeting, but someone had an audio recording and leaked it to Rolling Stone magazine, and the article was out this week. And so I was, you know, pretty actively involved in, you know, paying attention to what was going on there. And I can tell you that whenever Donald Trump won and the Democratic control, the control of Congress flipped over to the Democrats, impeachment wasn't being talked about. Investigation was being talked about, but not impeachment. The impeachment talk only came out in really the last, you know, 6 months or so as a result of the Ukraine debacle. And so, you know, I think that it's important that we kind of keep the facts straight here, that we remember our history. And, you know, I won't say that I've been following the, you know, I've got a job to do, as you do, Steve. We got real work. We got a family to support. So I haven't been able to drop everything and watch every minute of the hearing. So they've been on radio and television nonstop. But I've been following it pretty closely. And I'll have to say it's been an interesting ride. I've appreciated some of the history. I'm not one of those who think that this is inappropriate. I mean, you know, this is the presidency of the United States is a job. That we should, that character counts. We should expect integrity there. And if there's sufficient cause to question that, then I think there should be an investigation. And if that investigation leads to impeachment, then so be it.
Yeah, and I look at that, and I understand that process as well. I don't take it lightly, as this is will only be the fourth president in our history that's gone down this road. And two have been impeached. Nixon got out before he was impeached, and now we're going to see articles of impeachment almost a done deal at this point. Against Donald Trump. I don't have a problem with the oversight process. I teach civics and the Constitution to high school homeschoolers every year. I have for 8 years. This has been highly politicized. It's not bipartisan. But I don't think you can get anything bipartisan anymore in Washington, D.C. I just don't think those days are dead. And so it's been sad. But in terms of you go into a court of law, this goes nowhere. But we're not in a court of law, at least not yet. It's going to be very interesting to see what happens in the Senate. And, of course, Donald Trump's now daring him to do it. Because that's just his style anyway. But in the Senate, you're going to see a whole new ball game because all of a sudden Donald Trump's got his lawyers in there. We may see somebody that we both know, Jay Sekulow, might be in the middle of all that. And they're going to start calling witnesses, and it's going to be unbelievable to watch that.
Well, it will be unbelievable, and it'll be interesting. You know, whenever President Trump does get to call witnesses, it'll also be interesting to see if, you know, witnesses that the Democrats want to call that have so far claimed executive privilege will be called at some point as well. I don't think that that will happen just because the legal process that they would have to go through to sort of pierce this argument of executive privilege will probably take much longer now. But it's possible that some of them could waive executive privilege and choose to testify, even though they have claimed executive privilege up until now. But Steve, let me just make one quick point. I mean, we talk about the bipartisanship, or rather the polarized partisanship and the politicization of the process. But guess what? These guys are politicians. This is a political process. Yeah. There is an old thing in Washington that you can't take the politics out of politics. So if you expect these politicians who are engaged in a political process to depoliticize this, that is just an unrealistic expectation. That is not something that we should expect.
Yeah,
and,
I appreciate
and the other
you
thing
saying
too,
that.
Let me just make the, you know, I have you, probably maybe you have too, Steve. I have actually taken a tour of this Capitol. I have been on the floor of the House of Representatives, and one of the things that they do whenever they give you a tour of the House of Representatives is they show you the bullet holes of Puerto Rican that were made by Puerto Rican radicals back in the 1950s. You know, we could go all the way back to, you know, the Broadway play Hamilton, where, you know, they talk about duels in which, you know, political rivals were actually shooting at each other.
Yep,
so
right.
I think we need to take a deep breath and, you know, yes, it's politicized. Yes, I think that the level of debate has been coarsened. I'm not happy with what I see out there. But I do think that we need to take a deep breath and say, you know, civil war. Is this, you know, unprecedented in American history? I don't think so.
Not
I mean,
all,
when a
huh?
country with 30 million people loses a million people to war, listen, you know, that was worse. This is not that bad.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And we need to keep that in perspective, especially if you're a Christ follower. You need to make sure you keep a kingdom perspective. This is not everything all the time. This is temporary. And one day all this stuff will be a distant memory at best. Let's flip to the Democrat side. It's interesting to see just how far left and how radicalized they've become.
Well, it is. And Steve, we don't have time to unpack this, but I think in part Roe v. Wade is the reason for that. I mean, I think
absolutely.
That you know, there are lots of other causes. I mean, social media and the rise of the big money, the super PACs, and the Citizens United Supreme Court case, and so on and so forth. But I really trace a lot of this back to Roe v. Wade because, you know, Steve, 40 or 50 years ago, you and I might disagree politically, but I didn't think you were an evil person.
Right.
But after Roe v. Wade, I think that what has happened is that neither side trusts the moral compass of the other side. And from my point of view as a pro-lifer, I look at someone who thinks killing babies is okay, and I look at them and think, how can I trust them on anything?
Exactly.
And it becomes very, very difficult for me to overlook some of the positions of the Democratic Party and believe that they will be honest brokers in talking about and dealing with some of the other problems that we have in our culture today. So I don't want to say despair, because I think despair is a sin, and especially, you know, for the Christian,
amen,
despair is not an option. But I do think that it is going to be very, very difficult for Republicans and Democrats that are sitting on opposite sides of that life issue, of that abyss, to come together and really find common ground on lots of issues, because there's just such a level of distrust.
Yeah, that's a great point, and that is the central wedge issue that's out there, and from a spiritual side as well, because that's such a dividing point between darkness and light. And as long as that's there, we're going to have this kind of battle, we're going to have this kind of fight. Social media and the digital world has just increased and gave more flame to what was already there. This is nothing new. There's nothing new under the sun. We know that. Warren Cole Smith from MinistryWatch.com, great having you on, brother. God bless you. Merry Christmas. I look forward to having you back on soon.
Thank you, Steve. Merry Christmas to you and your listeners as well. Thanks very much.
Hi, pal. Thanks. We'll talk to you later. MinistryWatch.com is the website. And again, like Warren was talking about and explaining earlier, Ministry Watch, you'll find on there, especially they've got, we put the link up on Facebook Live. The Shining Light Ministries is a list of the best ministries. They look at financial wherewithal and the 500 biggest ministries in America and how they handle their finances. Is it a good investment? Is it a good in kingdom investment? You're not giving them your money. You're giving them the money that God has placed into your stewardship. So that's there at MinistryWatch.com, the 2019 Shining Light Ministries. So show you the ones that are best run, which is awesome. That's a great resource, especially here at the end of the year. And back to that point on the issue of Trump and politics and everything going on there and abortion. The reason this is getting crazier all the time is abortion. You can talk about the debt. You can talk about all kinds of things. Talk about the Ukraine. You can talk about how the president interacts, his personal style, yada, yada, yada. But really, all this is about is either saving or killing a baby. It all comes down to that, because if Donald Trump wins next year, and most likely I think that's what will happen, the odds are very good at this point that he's going to get one and maybe even two more Supreme Court justice nominations. I don't think Ruth Bader Ginsburg will last another 5 years. So you could have a court that goes 6-3, quote unquote conservative. And if he gets one more, talk about a nuclear bomb going off. Could you imagine a 7-2 somewhat conservative U.S. Supreme Court, which puts Roe versus Wade on the chopping block, and every demon known to mankind is involved in the fight to destroy God's creation at the earliest level, which is babies, which is why we need to be in prayer, which is why we need to be engaged, which is why we need to vote, and vote not your values, not your principles. Vote God's principles. Makes it pretty easy. This is Steve Noble on the Steve Noble Show. God willing, I'll talk to you again real soon. Have a great weekend. And like my dad always said, ever forward.